Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2014, number 11. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm Travis Justice, joined, as always, each and every week by the king of all Twitter. He's Mr. Twitterer. It's the one, the only, Dr. Rob Zadiska. I know that wasn't proper English, Doc, but...
Yeah, was that Twitter, or am I a tweeter now? How does that work?
I like saying Twitterer, just adding a bunch of errs on the back of it, end of it.
You are all about the extra syllables. I've discovered that Twitter, it's kind of like Facebook for guys.
And you've been crazy on Twitter lately. Of course, you can follow Dr. Rob Zadiska on Twitter, at DocTalkSports. You were even tweeting during the off week, talking about other games going on around college football.
There was interesting games. There was the litmus test game for Nebraska's remaining Big Ten schedule with the Northwestern-Minnesota game this past weekend.
Of course, the Huskers are going to be playing Northwestern this weekend in Evanston, Illinois. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. But, of course, the presenting sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast is the Remington Trophy. And the Remington Trophy presentation this year will take place January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. For table information, ticket information, or sponsorship information, make sure to visit RemingtonTrophy.com. But we have a Remington Trophy exclusive to present to you tonight, because we've been talking to Dave Remington a lot about who's going to be the featured speakers, who's going to be there to be part of the festivities, and we have two of the three names to announce to you tonight. And we feel very honored. Next week or the week after, we should have the featured speaker and who that's going to be. But tonight, we are going to give you two of the three speakers at this year's Remington Trophy presentation. And the first is going to be the Ford Legends Award winner. And that's going to be given to Courtney Hall. Courtney Hall is a former member of the San Diego Chargers. He's a four-time Pro Bowl first alternate, and he captained the only Chargers football team to play in the Super Bowl, Rob.
Pretty impressive credentials. He might be the most decorated Rice Owl of all time.
Well, when you look at it, yeah, he played at Rice. He graduated in 1990, and I know what you're going to love about Courtney Hall is, first of all, he's an offensive lineman, but second of all, he's really, really smart. So he graduated from Rice with a dual degree in economics and managerial studies. Then in 2003, when the NFL career was over, he decided, you know, I'm going to go back to school, where he got a joint Juris Doctorate and MBA degree from the University of Chicago Law School and the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. I would say he's pretty smart, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all business. I mean, it's buy low, sell high. I'm not sure how hard that is.
Oh, come on now. He served on the Rice University Investment Committee, helping manage the university's $4.5 billion endowment.
Good Lord. Actually, you know what? That's a huge accomplishment for this guy, which, you know, you go through that university, there's not a lot of dumb people who come out of Rice. I mean, it is a heck of a school.
He is a 1989 NFL draft pick. He went in the second round, number 37 pick overall, to the San Diego Chargers, and of course captained the Chargers in the Super Bowl in 1994, a Super Bowl in which they lost to the San Francisco 49ers. So Courtney Hall is this year's Ford Legends Award winner. Also speaking at this year's Remington Trophy Award presentation, every year Dave brings in somebody to talk about CF and cystic fibrosis, because that's where the proceeds from the trophy presentation go, is to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. This year, Rob, talking about CF and his battle with CF is Gunnar Esiason. Now, here's a kid that's in college. He's been really the face of cystic fibrosis ever since he was diagnosed when he was 2 years of age, and that is how the Boomer Esiason Foundation got started.
Which is probably one of the most prominent cystic fibrosis foundations out there. When you think about cystic fibrosis, this is essentially kind of the flagship foundation when it comes to fundraising for CF. And a lot of it has to do with him and his experiences and Boomer's experiences with Gunnar growing up together. You know what? I did not know this, and I didn't know this until you said that right now. This is somebody you want to listen to. I mean, because it's going to be really interesting to see what he's got to say, because when you think about some of the biggest advances in cystic fibrosis, the very research that this foundation has raised money for, this kid has actually lived through seeing all of this stuff come to fruition. And truthfully, and I'm this is probably not a big exaggeration to say this at all, he is probably alive today to a great deal in part because of the research advancements that this foundation has helped fund.
I would totally agree with you. And when I say he's the face of CF, he really is. And he's now, you know, doing a lot of speaking engagements. He's very active on social media. Gunnar's got a Twitter account. He's also blogging. But for one night, January 17th in Lincoln at the Rococo Theater, Gunnar Esiason is going to be speaking to a very captive audience. So Gunnar Esiason is going to be a speaker at the Remington Trophy presentation. Courtney Hall, former San Diego Charger, is going to be the Ford Legends Award winner. And we have one more speaker to announce. And as soon as the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and the contracts are signed, we can announce who that will be exclusively on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. Of course, we also want to thank our good friends at Husker Max who push this podcast out each and every week at HuskerMax.com. For all you Husker fans who are looking for the latest and greatest Husker news, you find it at HuskerMax.com. And we also want to thank our good friends at the Benson Brewery because they brew some really good beer. If you have not been to the Benson Brewery, you are missing out. I'm telling you that right now. I just finished up a growler of the Duet, which is a kind of a stout with a cold press coffee mixture. Absolutely superb. And Rob, you know firsthand, they have great beer. They have great food as well at the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson on Maple Street. Now, the Huskers getting ready for Northwestern this week, Rob, coming off the bye week. And I have to be honest with you. I'm looking at this statistically. If you look at it on paper, this should be an easy Nebraska win. That is, if you play the game on paper, this is a no contest.
Yeah, but when you look at that, look at past history between these two teams.
I know.
Every year, Nebraska should have been beating these guys.
Well, the last three games have been decided by a grand total of 7 points. Why is it that Northwestern plays Nebraska so close?
Well, despite the whooping Nebraska got against Michigan State for 3 quarters, why does Nebraska play Michigan State so close?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
One of these things where you talk about matchups between teams, and Nebraska has traditionally matched up poorly against Northwestern. I'll be curious to see if that holds true this week, because I think one of the reasons that Nebraska's had such a hard time with Northwestern, especially Northwestern's offense, has been because of Kane Coulter. Now, he's out there forming unions now left and right, apparently, and he's no longer there. He's graduated, but, I mean, Nebraska for 3 years could not contain Kane Coulter. Now, at the same time, too, they also don't have Venerick Mark, who left the team prior to the season starting, and he's, again, just another really good weapon on that offense that Northwestern is now lacking. And so it's a different Northwestern team. Their offense has a different look than what Nebraska's faced in the past. I would like to think that would make a difference, but boy, I got to tell you what, I mean, you got a heck of a coach in Pat Fitzgerald. I know you're kind of you're a little bit of a Fitzgerald fanboy.
How could you not like the guy?
And honestly, I do. I mean, it is hard not to, you can say like the guy, but it's hard not to respect the job he does there. I mean, Northwestern is not an easy place to go recruit to and win football games at. And the guy has done a masterful job in the time that he's been there. He kind of represents, I mean, not to get all misty-eyed and sentimental here, the guy represents what's right about college football. And he's a really, really good coach. And I think anytime you play Northwestern, you're going to play a team that is really, really well prepared and very well coached. And you know they're going to be up for Nebraska. This is a big game for them.
I'm
worried about going in there. Nebraska should dominate them, but I worry about Northwestern.
Have you seen the alternate uniforms they're going to be wearing? They're kind of like this gothic look.
That might be kind of cool, actually. definitely.
Yeah, they're going to be all black. I think they're going to look pretty cool, too. But when you look at them offensively, they can't run the football. They're not very good at passing the football. They don't score a lot of points. You know, Trevor Siemian, their quarterback, has more interceptions than he has touchdown passes. Their running back, Justin Jackson, goes for 83 yards a game, rather. I just don't see how this team can score on Nebraska. The only thing that they really got going for them, and they give up a lot of yards on defense, so to say, but they don't give up points. And that's where they've really been able to stay in a lot of games, is they don't give up a lot of points on defense.
They've been a very opportunistic defense. I mean, they pick up some turnovers at the right time. You know, you can make the whole bend but not break cliche, and yeah. And that does kind of ring true with these guys, but you're right, they don't. You know, that defense got, I don't know if pushed around is the right phrase, but Minnesota kind of ground things out against them for the better part of that game. It's just, if you watched the game, Northwestern kind of did the same against Minnesota. I mean, they just kind of marched up and down the field slowly against each other all day long, managed to put 17 points on the board each, and then it would have been a heck of an interesting finish if not for that kick return for a touchdown there late in the game.
Northwestern opened the season losing to California. Then they lost to Northern Illinois, then put off three straight wins, beating Western Illinois, winning at Penn State, then beating Wisconsin at home, which that raised some eyebrows. But then they went up to Minnesota last week and got beat. So do we know, is this team getting better? Did it take a step backwards last week? Do we really know what this Northwestern team can do?
You know, it's going to be hard to tell. And I think you've got a group of athletes that, for lack of a better phrase, have maxed out their talent. They are playing as good a football as you're going to see them play. It's just a question, is that going to be good enough to beat Nebraska? And in past years, it's been good enough to, at the very least, hold in there with Nebraska for the past two seasons. 3 years ago, good enough to knock off Nebraska. They've got the ability to play good, solid, sound football. And this is a Northwestern team that, if Nebraska goes in there, Northwestern has a little bit of an emotional high going. And if they don't turn the ball over and don't have a lot of penalties, then they could knock off Nebraska. Nebraska goes in there, has a little bit of a letdown after that Michigan State loss. Northwestern's really trying to come back, and it's a night game. They're all fired up. They could knock off Nebraska. The possibility exists. So don't, you just don't want to get uncomfortable with these guys, because they got a coach who's a very good coach. He's going to have them well prepared, and he's also going to pull out all the stops. I mean, don't be surprised if he decides to throw a couple of really well executed trick plays in there also.
Of course, talking about Nebraska coming off the bye week, did you like bye weeks, and can they help you? Can they hurt you? What's your feeling on bye weeks?
You know, the only value at all with a bye week is if you've got some guys who are banged up, nicked up, and you need a little bit of time to get those specific guys healthy. Otherwise, couldn't stand them. You're practicing. You don't have a purpose for the practice other than, let me review, there's always a purpose, but you don't have that concrete, hey, we've got a game this weekend that we're prepping for. You don't have that kind of that real clear-cut, defined sense of purpose staring back at you on Saturday. It makes it hard to practice. It makes it hard to maintain focus. The other thing is teams get into a little bit of a game groove. You get into a little bit of a timing, a rhythm, and when you have that bye week, it can definitely throw that off.
Do you think they're still festering after that Michigan State loss, or do you think they're ready to get back out?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, that was a game that I think a lot of the Nebraska players, at least from a fan standpoint, that was the game that I think once you got past that Miami game, I think everybody was sitting there going, okay, the Big Ten season rides upon that Michigan State game. That's the one we got to have as kind of our own little coming out party this season, at least. And it just didn't happen. I mean, there was that furious comeback in the fourth quarter, which I'd be the first to admit, I'm sure Michigan State had a little bit of a letdown. But man, Nebraska played horrible I mean, it was just, they just got destroyed for about 2.5 quarters there. I mean, it's the offensive line is still probably stinging a bit after that one. I mean, it was just, that was just an atrocious performance by Nebraska's offensive line. Nobody could do anything right. The defense played okay, but even then, the offense wasn't doing them any favors for the better part of 3 quarters of that game.
What you say?
And so it's got to be festering a little bit. I mean, I think that's still a little bit of a sting in the back of your mind. And just the hope is can you turn? Are you going to sit there and sulk about it, or are you going to turn around and use that as a motivation?
What you say? It's important for Nebraska to go out and deliver a knockout blow to Northwestern early. I mean, just go score 14, 17 points in the first quarter, kick him right in the balls and get him out of it. Because I think the longer you keep him in, the closer this game's going to be.
I agree, but I think you also got to get those points scored right away, yeah. And you got to keep scoring them, because the Northwestern has traditionally been a team that just doesn't quit. They keep fighting and fighting and fighting. I think Minnesota kind of took, you know, on paper it was, or on the scoreboard, it wasn't a big lead, but Minnesota took a lead, was playing very well for the entire first half of the game. Minnesota just looked in control for most of the first half of that game. Northwestern just didn't go away, and all of a sudden you found the score tied there in the second half. This is a team that just doesn't quit. And again, I think a lot of that just goes back to their coaching. You know, it's not that you got to get ahead of them because they're not going to go away. It's, you know, they're going to score points on you, and if you don't have a little bit of a cushion and then maintain that cushion, you're going to find yourself in trouble.
He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. This is the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. Good to have you along for 11th week. Of course, it's presented by the Remington Trophy. Well, let's talk about the Big Ten West Division. This thing's all messed up. You got Iowa at 2-0. Minnesota's at 2-0. Wisconsin's got a loss. Nebraska's got a loss. Northwestern's got a loss. I mean, there's a lot of football to play yet, but
it's wide open, Travis.
It is. It's a cliche. I hate cliches. but I would say this. You can't afford to lose another one.
No, and it's the thing is here also, you got to realize, I mean, the bulk of what Nebraska's got now is it's all West opponents, I mean, other than Rutgers. So you got basically the Big Ten West essentially that you have to deal with from here on out. So that'll sort itself out, because now all these guys have to play each other, and that sorts it out for you. You know, the tiebreakers will take care of themselves because of that. So, but it is kind of interesting looking at it now. I don't think anybody would have looked at it at this point and figured, well, yeah, you got Minnesota and Iowa leading the division right now. I don't see that holding up. I think Minnesota is one of those teams that if they can grind it out, control the clock, and run the ball on Nebraska, if Nebraska's not geared up to stop Minnesota's run, which last year they were not, then Nebraska's going to have a hard time with Minnesota. I think having that game, and you put that game in Lincoln, it's a whole nother ball game. But Minnesota's not a gimme. I can't wrap my head around Iowa, because Iowa's one of those teams that you look at them and you think, again, Nebraska should beat them. But Iowa's sitting there at 5-1, and you know they've been playing some good football. And Iowa, classically, it almost seems like they rise to their opponent.
Well,
so
they play to the level of their competition. I'll tell you this: if Iowa wins at Maryland this weekend, the Big Ten West Division title has to go through Iowa City. I mean, it's going to go with Wisconsin and Nebraska.
It does. And you look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, boy, they look like they're hurting. Their quarterback woes have just been killing them. You got Melvin Gordon, who's rushing for 200 yards on everybody. I feel bad for the guy, because it's like watching Troy Davis at Iowa State back in the day, where the guy's going to put out 2,000 yards and nobody's going to care, because his team's, the rest of the team around him just isn't there. So I don't think Wisconsin's going to be a major player in it. I agree with you. It's going to have to go through Iowa City, especially when you think about the fact that's where Nebraska's got to travel to this year.
All right, Doc, give me what do you think the final is this weekend? They win by 14, 17? They win win by 21 or they win
I think Nebraska wins it, but I think it's going to be one of those 28-24, 24-21 kind of games. It just, Nebraska just traditionally does not play well against these guys. And again, I think Pat Fitzgerald's going to have a great game plan. He knows how this guy just appears to know how Pelini thinks, and because of that, I think he's going to know how to defend against Nebraska's offense. I think he's going to know how to attack Nebraska's defense, and he's going to be sound on special teams. I think he's going to pop a few trick plays are going to catch Nebraska off guard, and I think Nebraska is going to be in for a four-quarter dogfight. Now, I hope I eat those words, but I don't think I will.
All right, he's Dr. Rob Zadiska. Don't forget, coming up at the Remington Trophy presentation January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln, it's Ford Legends Award winner Courtney Hall from the San Diego Chargers. The son of Boomer Esiason, Gunnar Esiason, will be a speaker. And hopefully next week we'll be able to announce our third and final and featured speaker of the Remington Trophy presentation. Huskers take on Northwestern Saturday at 6:30. Enjoy the game. Rob and I will be back next week with another Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.